Welcome to Season 2 of The Successful Strategist, a podcast on strategy, management, and governance dedicated to helping you address the most important questions any organization can ask. I'm Mitchell Muncy, a consultant who has co-founded or led five startups, for-profit and non-profit, spanning the media, public policy, and higher education. In these practical five-minute episodes, I cut through jargon and myth to offer you the same advice I give my clients. Good morning. This is the fifth in a series of episodes in which I'm presenting quick tests I use to help my clients, for-profits and nonprofits, think about whether they have a real strategy. Last time, we covered the execution test. If our organization's activities don't clearly distinguish us from others, or we don't have a way to evaluate our progress, then we don't have a strategy. In addition to these qualities, our activities must also be complementary. And so today we're discussing the fit test. Of all the tests of a strategy, this one is the most difficult to pass. When I evaluate strategic plans, at least a few of their strategies will survive the previous tests we've discussed, but the survivors almost never have any real connection to one another. Even very well-run organizations can be in competition with themselves to some degree, by which I mean that at least some of their key activities succeed only at the expense of other key activities. In episode 14 of season 1, I discussed fit as one of the essential elements of strategy. However well we may perform our activities taken individually, our strategy must explain how our activities reinforce each other, and the leadership of our organization must make strengthening that reinforcement one of its priorities. A coherent strategy doesn't just present a list of worthwhile activities, but it presents them in a constructive relationship with each other. In other words, it presents them as a system. It is possible for our activities to be simply consistent, in the sense that they don't interfere with each other. But this kind of balance turns out to be harder to maintain than we might hope. One organization I worked with sponsored a range of programs that required people with distinct and unrelated areas of expertise to run them. On a day-to-day basis, it would be fair to say they didn't cause trouble for each other. Nevertheless, the leadership struggled in presenting the organization to potential donors. Some would be favorable to one area of the organization's work, but uninterested in supporting the others, even indirectly. Members of the board also would be enthusiastic about one program while openly suggesting the others were a waste. The result was a lack of reliable support. The unrelated programs did interfere with each other after all, but on a more general level. The leadership didn't want to integrate the organization because this almost certainly would have meant spinning off or terminating programs that were very worthwhile in themselves. Unfortunately, the attempt to accommodate so much unrelated work meant that no program received the support it needed to reach its potential. We know we have a real strategy when we can explain concretely how each of our activities is more successful precisely because of the way we perform all our other activities, and the value of any one activity can't be separated from our whole system. What makes organizations successful is that they are unique, and uniqueness comes from building a system of activities other organizations can't or won't copy. My suggestion for today is ask whether some of your organization's activities could be equally successful without the others, or worse, if some of them might be more successful without the others. If you find that your organization is in competition with itself, is there a way to craft a better fit between your activities, or are they unlikely ever to be compatible? Michael Porter has written that the essence of strategy is choosing what not to do. Next time, we'll discuss the sixth and final test I encourage clients to apply, the no test. Most people learn about podcasts from friends and colleagues. If this episode was helpful, Please take 30 seconds right now to recommend The Successful Strategist to one other person, and be sure you haven't missed any of the previous episodes. If you'd like to receive my twice-monthly newsletter, which includes show notes and a summary of important ideas about strategy, management, or governance, sign up at thesuccessfulstrategist.com. I'm glad we could invest this time together. Remember, being a successful strategist doesn't require specialized training or unique insight, just a commitment to asking the right questions. The Successful Strategist is a production of Prospera LLC, a consulting firm providing strategy development, nonprofit due diligence, crisis management, and interim executive management to mission-driven organizations and philanthropists. Learn more at ProsperaLLC.com. This is Mitchell Muncy. Talk to you next time.